Hey, hey, Nimoah Spring Summit. It's Jason Thompson, who is your host for our podcast stage here. And I got to tell you, I got the chance to interview a lot of rising stars, and one of the most impressive people that I talked to was Allie Reynolds, who's the customer retention manager for Gardner Supply. Allie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jason.
Well, congratulations on the award.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's an absolute honor.
So it's an absolute honor. What's it mean to you? Have you told your family? You're running around Burlington, Vermont, cheering. What's happening there?
I have definitely told my family. I've definitely told my friends, you know, a lot of my, industry contacts from where I was previously. So it's great. It's just great to be recognized and, you know, acknowledged in that way.
Okay, so a lot of people that I talk to from the Rising Stars, they came to their job out of college. Mm-hmm. But you had something different. And that was what I really loved about the conversation that we had, which is you kind of have that analogous approach, which is I'm going to pick up something from this industry and I'm going to pick up something from this industry and I'm going to bring it to the new industry and put it all together. So talk a little bit about where you came from and how you're bringing that to Gardner Supply.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the last 8 years, I've actually worked in the real estate industry. And so, you know, you're talking about very long sales cycles. You're talking about, very, very high price points, and you almost have to have a very intimate relationship with your customer. And so when you talk about that, it's B2B sales. It's incredibly different from the e-commerce world that I'm living in right now. But who your customer is and your ability to listen to them doesn't change. And I think what I really bring from the real estate industry over into kind of the e-commerce world and what I'm doing right now is just that ability to listen really highly to what the customer is saying, what they're interested in, what it is that they want to get from the business, and be able to turn that into actionable insights, because that's the most important thing, right? You know, as much as you listen, if you can't turn it into something, what's...
Well, let's start with the listening side. Like, we have a session here with a former FBI agent this afternoon on listening. I hope you come and check that one out. I'm really excited about that, and I'm a guy who has been studying listening a lot over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
What's your secret? What is it that helps you to be an effective listener?
Well, first, I think the internal just mantra of say less.
I gotta learn that one.
I always feel that, you know... Questions are the most powerful tool you can have in any sort of conversation.
Right.
And what I think a lot of people don't realize is that every interaction you have with your customer is a conversation in one way or another. And so if you can form a question for them to answer, you're going to get a lot more insights, you're going to get a lot more engagement from them, and you're going to understand what it is that they're looking at a lot more.
I love that. I do a lot of training on how to be effective at asking questions. There are two rules I have. One is... try to ask the same question in an unexpected way. So what's your objective is what we ask. And we always get the same half dozen answers.
Yep.
You know, ask an obvious question, get an obvious answer. But I always then like to twist it. And the way that I do this on stage when I keynote is I'll hold up a pen and I'll say, what is this? And people just stare through you for about 8 seconds before somebody, a pen? And I said, yeah, I ask an obvious question, I got an obvious answer. I said, now. Besides writing things down with this thing, what else can you do? And then suddenly people get creative. Again, they're hesitant for a second. Then someone will say, you can clean your teeth. You can clean your ear. Or my favorite one of all time, you can hunt, right? Right? But again, asking that question in an unexpected way is going to shake loose stuff that even the person you're talking to didn't know that they had inside them.
Yeah.
The second one is I use scenarios. So a lot of times as a creative director, I'll get people saying, I want to do something bold. And in my head, as soon as I hear bold, I'm like Cirque du Soleil in a parade. And so I'll say, what do you think about Cirque du Soleil in a parade? They're like, whoa. We just wanted to change the color of the background, mm-hmm. right? So that helps because sometimes people can't tell you what they want, but they can tell you what they don't want.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So there's the question side. Now, you gave me kind of a list of things, omnichannel, campaign, segmentation, that you're able to kind of affect in your own organization right now. So let's start with omnichannel. What's happening there? What are you bringing from outside the industry that's helping inside the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest thing about omnichannel is that you have to understand that every moment in the customer journey is not equal. Every single interaction you have with them is not going to hold the same weight. You're building towards something, and you have to use every single channel that you have at your disposal in order to build that story. And if at one point any channel is out of sync or the message doesn't resonate or you're hitting them with a message that is completely incongruous with the message that you had before, you're creating cognitive dissonance for your customer. And so you're creating a less than desirable experience for them. And so when you're talking about an omni-channel strategy, it's you're looking for the same call to action over a series of different mediums. It's not necessarily the same message said over the same medium. You're not shouting the same thing over television that you would over radio, that you would put in print. It's not the exact same script on every single piece. It changes. And so that's a very important part of it.
Are you sure you're new to this industry? Like that's a great answer. I really like that a lot. Okay, so that's omnichannel. Yeah. Let's talk about campaigns.
Yeah, so campaigns. And so with that campaign, so you have that omnichannel strategy, and the campaign is really kind of just a short-term version of that. And so you're doing that omni-channel strategy for a specific result. So you're doing that because they abandoned the cart. You're doing that because you want them to purchase again after they've purchased from you 90 days before. You're trying to bring them back into the business because they're a lapsed customer. A campaign has a very specific result at the end of it. And then, you know, the most important thing with those campaigns is that you're segmenting your audience so that the right campaign is hitting the right audience at the right time.
So let's talk about segmentation. I love how you segued on that one. That was great. Talk about what you're learning around segmentation and what you're doing that's a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. So really the segmentation, you know, as I said, every interaction with a customer is a conversation. And so you have to segment that conversation. In the same way that you wouldn't tell your mother and your best friend what you did when you got to the casino last night the exact same way, you wouldn't tell your customer about a product the exact same way because certain points are not going to resonate with your customer the same way that others might. In the same way that a certain medium might not necessarily resonate with your customer the way that another might. And so when you're segmenting your audience, that's where the listening comes in, is when you're listening to your audience, you should be mentally segmenting them out into the different places. And the goal of your segments is that when you do a marketing action, like a campaign, like an omni-channel strategy, you can expect, within a reasonable amount of doubt, a certain result. So they're going to buy from you, they're going to create more brand loyalty, they're going to donate to a cause you care a lot about. So they're all going to generate relatively the same result when you take that marketing action.
Outstanding. You mentioned in our conversation, you know, kind of like you, as we were kind of going through omnichannel, going through segmentation, you know, going through campaigns, a couple of things that you are noticing that's popping up. And one of them that I was fascinated by was recency of purchase is a great harbinger of what happens next. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend if you have no idea on where to start segmenting your business to absolutely start with recency. There are countless studies out there that show that people who have purchased from you most recently are also most likely to purchase from you going forward. Those people have, as long as you haven't horribly bungled that experience, right? So those people, when you first purchase something, that is the highest and best and most great you're going to feel about any given brand. You just made that transaction. You got exactly that dopamine hit from pushing that buy now button, and then that thing showed up on your door on time, and it was exactly what you expected. That is an incredibly satisfying experience. And the more of those experiences you can string together, the more you cultivate a brand loyalty. And so when you're talking about recency, the emotion with the customer is highest at that moment. So even if you're not necessarily having them purchase at that time, that is the best moment to cultivate brand loyalty. And that brand loyalty is ultimately what's going to keep you in business and keep your customers retained to you.
One of the ways that you can measure that brand loyalty is through the customer survey. And you were emphatic that you should not be afraid of the customer survey. Why?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I hear a lot in you know, customer retention that customer surveys, well, what are we really going to get out of it is always the big objection about it.
Right.
And I find that people who are afraid of customer surveys are often afraid of them because you don't know how to implement that feedback. You're afraid of what that feedback might be. You are, you're not even sure what questions you want to ask. And I think that, you know, the customer survey brings to light a lot of those problems in the business. And if you don't know what to ask your customers or you're afraid of their feedback, you're really just afraid of interacting with your customers. And business is interacting with your customers. So at some point or another, that's going to bite you. And
sure. I love it. I love it all. Future Nimoa president, obviously, Ali. Where can we, people are going to want to talk to you about these things. So where can they find you and contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're, you know, if you're on social media, my LinkedIn page is always a great place to get in touch with me, or my email is allyr@gardeners.com.
All right, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you take and shine really bright this afternoon when they give you the award, all that sort of great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we are going to be back with more from Nimoa Spring Summit and learn some, hopefully, I mean, you've set the bar high here for these interviews. Learn so much more from some of the people who are receiving awards and a whole lot more. Thanks for joining us, Alan.